Welcome, friends, to the February 3rd, 2021 episode of my podcast, Medicine in Action. I wanted to follow up on the previous podcast about the vaccination. I know vaccinations are in full swing for the COVID in all the countries my listening audience is in. I'm going to share my experience with the vaccine and of my colleagues in the United States, and also tell you my feelings that still continues to be quite a bit of controversy, and questions keep coming up whether people should take the vaccine, and I'll tell you my take on it. So first of all, my experience with the vaccine. I was lucky to receive the Moderna vaccine through a hospital, and I received my second shot about 10 days ago. The first shot mainly had some soreness in the arm, as most people have reported. The second shot was a bit more involved. So I received it around 7 o'clock in the morning, and a little bit of soreness in the arm like the first one, which wasn't bad. I had taken a few Tylenol, which again is controversial, but I feel it's okay and safe. Some authorities recommend not taking anything beforehand, but I had to work a full day and I wasn't quite sure the impact or reactions I would see. So regardless, after the vaccine, I had a 12-hour day and I was able to put in no problems with that. Around 7 that evening, I started to feel feeling a bit cold. And that's the time I went ahead and checked my temperature. And I was running a low-grade temperature at the time, around 100. And I was starting to have some more chills. And at that point, I did go ahead and take some ibuprofen and kind of rested that evening, hydrated a lot. And that night, I had a bit more chills and needed an extra layer or blankets to be able to sleep comfortably. By next morning, I was feeling well. I did not have any nausea. I didn't have any headaches. Just felt cold and chilly that night. So be prepared for that on the second injection, but it's short-lived. Most people have reported it lasting 24 to 36 hours, self-limited, and okay to use Tylenol or ibuprofen depending on your situation. They don't recommend taking ibuprofen prophylactically. That may possibly interfere with the vaccine efficacy, so best to avoid that. So on the whole, I mean, most people have had relatively minor reactions, even though the second shot is definitely more involved, and it will give you probably plan if you can afford it not to work the next day. So luckily, I had my vaccine on a Friday, so I was able to have the Saturday, Sunday off. Saturday, actually, I went out biking and felt fine. Sunday, likewise, I was okay. Probably a bit tired, but by Monday, I was feeling 100%. So my experience was, I would say, fairly minimal. Some people do have more severe reactions, but again, they tend to be short-lived. So that's the story for probably 99% of people. Some people don't get fevers. They'll just get body aches, fatigue, nausea, headaches, but lasting a day or two, and then they're generally better. Now, of course, there have been a few people who've had very severe reactions. The numbers are few. So as of now, United States had vaccinated close to about 25 million people with both Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. And the number of severe anaphylactic or severe reactions is probably around 100. Now, the number of deaths reported is thankfully even more rare, probably a handful. And the most tragic case was one of a obstetrician in Miami, Florida, who developed a severe case of a low platelet count after the a Pfizer vaccine, and unfortunately ended up dying because of a bleed in the brain. Now, we do feel that is related to the vaccine, although studies are still ongoing to confirm that. But again, that is a very rare event. unfortunately, it can happen, but it is not something that we have seen, you know, in any more than maybe a handful of cases. So now to the positive part. So just this morning, we got news that the AstraZeneca vaccine in England has shown data that it is excellent at preventing transmission of the virus, which means that not only have we now shown reduced morbidity and mortality from the vaccine, which is what the main studies were, which meant that people who took the vaccine had lesser chance of getting sick from it and lesser chance of dying from it, which is the biggest objective, of course. But indirectly, we've always felt that it will help us end the pandemic by cutting transmission. Now we have proof of that. So this was always something we believed would be true, but studies have now corroborated that. So my take is that all of the vaccines available on the market, I can speak to the Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, now Johnson & Johnson, and even the other vaccines that are being used, let's say in India, the locally developed vaccine or the Russian vaccine or Novavax, they're all going to be effective. Remember our experience from other vaccines against viral diseases. Even people who get the flu vaccine end up getting the flu, they tend to have a much higher odds of surviving the flu. Even if they get sick with it, the sickness may be milder, or they have a lesser chance of dying from it. And the same would apply here. So if your body has generated even some degree of an immune response, and remember, it is not an all or none phenomena. Some people will have brilliant responses and will have absolutely no infection at all. And some will have a partial response. It depends on the personal host situation, your own immunity, the current conditions in your body. But it is a gradation in response. But regardless, some response is better than no response. So three levels where this vaccine is going to be very effective. One is protecting you from actually getting the infection. We have clear data on that. Two, even if you were to get the infection, it will be a milder infection and less chance of dying from it, which is the most important criteria. And three, cutting the rate of transmission means you are not actively able to pass the virus on to other people once you've been vaccinated, or cuts down the chance of that. It's not 100% again. So when you put all of these together, in my mind, it's a no-brainer that the benefits that accrue from the vaccine are far greater than any potential downsides. And I've heard lots of theories, lots of conspiracy theories, and there are truly some unknowns that we don't know. And we will not know them, but our house is on fire, and we should not argue about what the long-term effects of our extinguisher may be. We need to put the fire out and then deal with the consequences as they may be. So one of the biggest controversies is, what are the long-term effects of messenger RNA vaccines? Are we going to see some unusual effects? And it is true, these have only been around 6, 7, 8, 9 months, and there could potentially be. And we don't know that, but it has also not been seen so far in the 25, 30 million doses administered in the United States and around the world of any other unusual things. And if we learn about things, we will have to deal with them. So the trend appears to be very clear. It is true that the percentage efficacy of the different vaccines may be slightly different. It can vary anywhere from 60 to 95%. But regardless, my message would be, what vaccine is available to you, if you're comfortable with the potential side effects, you should proceed with getting it rather than waiting for that ideal perfect vaccine or perfect data to come, because that will not come for years and we may never get that. But currently, the data is very clear that the more we are able to vaccinate the populations, the sooner we're going to end the pandemic. And that is a big deal. That's a huge deal, you know, because as of now, 450,000 Americans dead probably 2.2 million people around the world, probably more. And it's not stopping. It's still ongoing. I mean, I have personally seen so many patients' families, unfortunately a personal family member, who've all been severely affected or have lost their lives. So it's not something that's going to just go away. It is also true that the longer it takes us to vaccinate 70-80% of the population, the more lives we're going to lose. So if you generally don't have any major health issues or major concerns and have the ability to take the vaccine, please do, rather than waiting for the perfect vaccine to come along. Also, a few other people have asked, how does this mRNA vaccine actually work? So I want to talk a little bit about it in the second half. These messenger RNA vaccines work at the cellular level. Basically, the mechanism is such that when you take the vaccine in the arm, that little messenger RNA is going to be transported, some of it right into the muscle cells where you take it, goes into the cells there, into the nucleus. Some of it will get transported directly into your liver, into the spleen, where a lot of the immune processes happen, some into the lymph nodes. There's a mouse study that was done in 2015. So the studies they were looking at for the company in Vancouver, which makes the lipid cover that goes around the mRNA vaccine. And this company is called Penn and Aquitas. So they were looking at lipid nanoparticles, mRNA, that were injected many different ways. And they also used the RNA for the firefly, which is luciferase, which is a marker, because whenever we inject that in the mice, we can actually see it lighting up, so it's very easy to track it. So if we injected the messenger RNA intravenously or intraperitoneally, which is straight into the belly, it went straight into the liver, which is not a surprise. If you inject it in intramuscularly, like we're doing with the vaccine, a good part of it still goes to the liver, but there's a substantial effect in the muscle tissue itself, and it's longer lasting. So liver things quick in and out. Within 24 hours, the liver is cleared out of it. But in the muscle, it'll last for about a week. If you did a subcutaneous injection, it doesn't go to the liver much at all. It mainly stays in the site for about a week. So intramuscular injections, as we've been doing, seem to have the best efficacy. So essentially, when we inject it, it goes into those cells, revs up our machinery. Our own cells will make the virus spike protein, which is what the body will eventually produce immunity to or antibodies to. And that's why the second injection seems to have a much more of a side effects or reactions, because your body's already made some antibodies and the second reaction is really amping or boosting it up. And that's a good thing. So having the second shot is kind of important in my opinion, and studies show it. First shot's 50% efficacy, the second one up to 95%, which is incredible. So I just want people to know that, or listeners to know that, based on very rigorous studies, it appears that these are effective and safe vaccines. Of course, the worry always is, what is that messenger RNA going to do down the road? Is it going to create some other problems? But as best as we can tell, that messenger RNA is cleared from our systems pretty effectively by about a week or so. It's done doing what it's supposed to do, and we don't know any residual mRNA or any effects. So it is definitely an incredible piece of technology that seems to work. Lastly, some listeners had asked again about all these variants that are being discovered. And it is true that the efficacy of all vaccines has declined against certain variants, in particular the British and South African variant, but the good news is that the efficacy is still there. Remember, none of these mutations have basically altered the spike protein, which is what our principle here is. What they have done is they have changed the avidity with which the virus binds to the host cells, or how virulent it is, how easily it spreads. So it is again a quantitative phenomena. It is not an all or none phenomena. You can get a 50% boost in immunity, 60%, 70%, but any is better than zero. So that's kind of my take on it, is that some is better than none. So at that note, I will end. I hope everybody listening is going to consider taking the vaccine. And please continue sending me questions, queries. I'm happy to research and answer them for you. Be well, be safe. Till next time, take care. Have a good day.